Couldn't wait to get to this interview. Been waiting all day. Finally, we get a chance to talk to Mr. College Football himself, Tony Barnhart. Follow him on Twitter at Mr. CFB. And, of course, you can meet Tony and see Tony coming up Monday night at the Memphis Touchdown Club. Again, memphistouchdownclub.com. Get your tickets now, Monday night at 5:30. So get your tickets now, memphistouchdownclub.com. He is the featured speaker coming up on Monday. Tony, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Well, happy football season, guys. Good to be with you.
Yeah, man, it is time to get going again. I mean, you're old school, man. You've been around for a while. I'm curious to kind of get your thoughts on what's going on in college football. Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State bringing up the whole QR code on Oklahoma State helmets so, you know, people can tip players and do all this other type of stuff. Your thoughts on that idea and where we're headed?
Well, I like anything that increases communication and exposure to the game, I am for. I mean, but coaches, by definition, don't like change. They don't like what they can't control. And that's part of it. Nick Saban said this earlier this year when asked about all this. He said, you know, here's what you keep in mind. We're not going back to the way it used to be. Those days are never going to return, all right? What we have now, we don't have our arms completely around NIL and things. So what we have now is not sustainable. There's a sweet spot in the middle, and we're going to find it, and because college football has always found it.
The thing that I'm concerned about, I guess, going forward, and I'm fine with the QR code. I'm fine putting QR codes up on posters and bars and restaurants and whatever else in your city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you scan the QR code when somebody makes a play. You go down the roster. You find the player. You click on the player. Tells you, you know, where you can donate your money. You put your card information in, and you make your donation to that player, whatever. I get that, and I'm fine with that. But when Gundy starts bringing up the idea of, you know, we're going to have contracts and this is going to be something completely different than the rest of college sports, technically a scholarship already is a contract, right? I mean, you have to kind of sign it year to year. You're not guaranteed anything, even though they say it's a full ride. You still have to, you know, earn your way through 4 years. So how much different does this really become? I mean, do we get to the point where they don't have to go to class anymore? Grades are no longer important and it's just strictly pay for play and they become a minor league system officially of the NFL?
Well, I think we're headed in the direction at some point. I don't know how far down the road we're looking at. The players will eventually have to be under contract. And they, as you pointed out, they have a contract now because the players can say, rightfully so, you want me to stay for 3 years, 4 years, not move? Great. Here's what my salary is. And so that, at that point, I think the players will be on the contract. There will be a players' union. They will negotiate working conditions and all those things. We are headed towards the NFL model. And as one coach told me, we might as well get used to it because the NFL kind of knows what they're doing. So people need not fret. The game that's on the field now, the college football, what we see every Saturday has never been better. The game is being played at a very high level. We got to work. Do we have to work through issues now on how players are going to get compensated and what the guardrails are and that? Yeah, we haven't done that yet. But it's folks needn't fret. College football is going to be fine.
It feels like that the staffs are much larger right now when we start talking about college sports. I mean, we got general managers. Mm-hmm. We've got people just dealing with NIL. So these schools are spending way more money now than they've ever spent. And then you start talking about smaller schools, like let's say Memphis. They get the FedEx deal for NIL, which is great, but I still don't know if that's even going to come anywhere close to competing with the Ohio States and the Alabamas and the Texases of the world when you start talking about recruiting, transfer portal, NIL deals, and so forth.
Well, we're moving in a direction where there are going to be schools that are going to have to make up their mind whether or not, as a friend of mine, Wes Durham, said, they got to decide whether or not they want to be in the football business. And the football business is going to take a lot of money to play it for the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Tennessees and the Floridas and the Alabamas of the world. You know, they can afford to play the game, but how many schools can't really afford to play it at the highest level? And schools are going to have to make up their mind if they want to play at the highest level or will do they create another level for these schools.
You have a million bowl games at this point. Do we essentially then get to a point where half of these bowl games are for the Group of Five schools, the other half are for the power conferences?
And it could be, and that could absolutely be. The marketplace, people fret about having a lot of bowl games. The marketplace is going to take care of that. I mean, as long as you've got a sponsor and you got two conferences that want to play, as the great Roy Kramer once said, then you're fine. But it's going to be interesting how they work through the bowls. I think the bowls are going to be fine. They just won't get as many of the big teams as they used to.
Tony, coming up, you can go see Tony Barnhart coming up on Monday night. Get your tickets now. MemphisTouchdownClub.com. He'll be in town Monday night again at 5:30, and you are not going to want to miss this. Follow Tony on Twitter at MrCFB. I've talked about this numerous times. I don't think I'd ever want to be the guy replacing a Hall of Famer or a legend, and that's exactly what's having to happen at Alabama. And even though you're coming from Washington and you do a great job, I don't think DeBoers is giving enough credit as far as what he can get done at Alabama, as people seemingly maybe aren't giving them as much credit as due, I guess, coming into this season. How difficult just is that going to be replacing Nick Saban?
Well, obviously it's going to be difficult because the expectations were high, and you are taking the chair of a guy who's the greatest coach of all time with seven national championships. But I had a chance to spend some time with Kalen DeBoer at the SEC meetings in Destin back in May, and I was very impressed. This guy strikes me as somebody who is very comfortable in his own skin. You know, I asked him about what it's like having Nick Saban just down his office just down the road from where he is. He says, "Why would I not take advantage of the institutional knowledge that Coach Saban has? Think about how much he knows. This stuff that we've never even thought of." So I said, I'm going to take advantage of it. He obviously does not feel threatened by it at all. And I think Alabama's going to be, in most preseason polls, they're going to be somewhere in the top 10. In the SEC, I think most people are going Georgia, Texas, and Alabama in the SEC. So I think Alabama's going to be fine. But I will say this. I told a group the other day, I said, Georgia goes to Alabama on September 28th. We will all be a lot smarter after that game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's still weird hearing Texas in the SEC, just like it's weird hearing Oregon and UCLA and Washington in the Big Ten. Is it between Ohio State and Oregon, essentially, for the Big Ten?
Yes. Ohio State, you got to understand, they basically went to the transfer portal and they were getting carte blanche to do whatever they had to do on the NIL front. This is the year. This is the year that Ohio State has moved everything into place. Michigan's got their national championship. Jim Harbaugh is gone. We don't know what Michigan's going to be like. So it's, yeah, I think, but now I like Oregon. I like Dan Lanning. I like everything that he has done. But right now, I like Ohio State to win the Big Ten.
If you follow on social media with Ohio State Buckeye fans, I mean, they were losing their mind over Ryan Day and have been losing their mind over Ryan Day. Is he on any type of a warm seat or anything like that?
I was asked that question. I guess spoke to a group last night, was asked that very question. I said, well, Ryan Day's only won 897 games. That's but he didn't beat Michigan the last 2 years, and I understand that. I don't think he's on a hot seat. If anybody puts him on a hot seat, I don't think they know what they're talking about, because the guy's a really good football coach. And if the poor kid from Ohio State didn't duck hook that field goal, they're playing for the national championship in 2022. You know.
Yep.
So they are there. And the idea is to put yourself in. Great Jim Valvano would say, athletics is about putting yourself in a position to win. If you put yourself in position to win enough times, you're going to win your fair share. That's where Ohio State is. They've been in position to win and haven't been able to close the deal. I think they play Georgia for the national championship.
Got a 12-team playoff, which means a team like Memphis, part of this group of five, is trying to figure out how to get themselves in. There was just a piece on CBS Sports, and they asked all the different writers who they thought would go. A lot of them have Boise State going. A few have Memphis. A couple other have Liberty. Do any of those schools, whet your appetite for maybe seeing them in a college football playoff this year?
I've got Memphis as my group of five team in the playoff. It was Liberty last year, and Boise, I can understand that, but I think Memphis is in a position where they can do that. Now, I'm speaking to the Memphis Touchdown Club on Monday. I didn't change my picks just because I was sticking there. I think what they've done a very good job, and I think Memphis has got a great shot to make the playoffs. Somebody's going to get that slot. That's what people have to understand. It's not the 12 best teams. It's the top four conference champions get a bye, and one of the group of five conferences, the most highest ranked, will get a spot in the playoffs more often than not as the number 12 seed. So,
and as the 12 seed, then do they have a fair shot, knowing the top four get a bye? Do you think of winning that first game?
Well, the fact that they in my picks, they would have to play Oregon. I think I would pick Oregon in that game. So, do they have a shot? Of course, you got a shot. You got listen. Since 2007, when Appalachian State won at Michigan, nothing's impossible, and that's what's going to make it so exciting. I mean, the 12 team college football playoff is going to change completely the way that we consume college football, because it's not just one or two. If you got two losses, you can make the case to be in. In some cases, an SEC team could do it with three losses. So it's the way that we're going to look at college football will change. It will be completely different.
Like Tony said, again, memphistouchdownclub.com if you want to get your tickets for the event coming up Monday night at 5:30. He is Mr. College Football. Not only are you Mr. College Football, but you're Mr. Author as well. And you got a book, The 19 of Green. Tell everybody about your book out that people can get now.
Well, in the fall of 1970, roughly 800 years ago, I played on the first ever integrated team at Greene County High School. That's located in Greensboro, Georgia, exactly halfway between Atlanta and Augusta on I-20. And the courts ruled that once and for all, because the South drug their feet on integrating the schools ever since the Civil Rights Bill of 1964. They drug their feet, and finally the courts told my high school, we had a black high school and a white high school, completely segregated, and they said, you will merge the schools. And they said, besides, you haven't really integrated the schools until the football team is integrated. And that was our job. We had only 19 players, 12 white, 7 black. And that's what we went into the season with. And we had a special season. And what we were able to do drew the county together, and it really mended a lot of fences. People who were really concerned about how it was going to turn out, but it turned out really well. But it's not about football. The book is about the fact that 54 years after we played our last game together, Charles Turner, our quarterback, my first black friend, he and I are still the closest of friends. I talked to him yesterday, in fact. And it's about the relationships that team has kept up since we played together 54 years ago.
You know, I used to work with a guy that was my co-host back in the day, and I'm really good friends with him. His name's Gary Ellerson, and he was the Georgia High School Player of the Year. I guess it was late 70s, I guess. He was recruited by Bear Bryant, Georgia, all over. Ended up going to Wisconsin and playing for the Badgers, of all things. But he also was a part of what you're talking about in his town in the state of Georgia. And I've heard stories from him that make me just kind of cringe as how that whole integration process worked. What was it like for you going through the process outside of the football team? And then how did being on the football team, how did that process play out coming together?
Well, part of the research I did for the book was contact people who lived in the surrounding counties. Greene County was our county, Putnam County, Morgan County. All these other counties were having really difficult times with fights and things of that nature. We had only one major incident in our school. I believe it was because people who questioned integration rallied behind the football team, and we had by the midway through the year, we were selling out every game, and people were really, really supportive. And so being on the football team, we knew we had a role to play, although, to be honest with you, we were thinking about winning football games. We were not thinking about being social justice warriors. Okay, that right. that would come later as we got became adults. We said, hey, that was a very important time. But at the time, we just wanted to win football games, and we did that. But it was a labor of love to do the book. To have the chance to track, I was able to track down all. There are 15 guys that are still living. I was able to track down all of them. I interviewed all of them, either in person or on the phone, and just to have a chance to relive that part of my life again. I've been very, very fortunate in my career, but this book, my sixth book, this book is by far the most rewarding thing I've ever done.
He was in Albany, Georgia, so I'm not sure where that was in correlation to where you are. And we're talking like 77 to 81 he played there. So they were one of the last schools probably to integrate in Georgia.
Yes, that is right. Because 70, when we integrated, was late. We should have done it a long time before that. But it's something really special. And we tell each guy has his own chapter after I was able to track them down. And we have people like, we had one of our players who was assigned to the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001.
Wow.
He was on his way to the Pentagon when the plane hit, and he spent the rest of the day. And his name was Tom Faust, F-A-U-S-T. Tom came from a military family. He knew he was going to be in the military. And so he had 200 people under his command on 9/11, and he and his senior staff spent that day tracking down every single member of his staff and tracked down all of them. Nobody was hurt.
That is wild. It sounds like a great book. The 19 of Green, Football, Friendship, and Change in the Fall of 1970 by Tony Barnhart. Make sure to go get that one. And, of course, if you want to meet Tony and go hear some good stories, Tony Barnhart's going to be part of the Memphis Touchdown Club coming up on Monday night at 5:30. If you want to get tickets, go to memphistouchdownclub.com. Tony, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Just want to add that we will have books for sale and signature if you would like to have them. Come early. Come early, and we'll sign a book for you. That'll be great.
That's awesome. Sounds good. Follow him on Twitter at Mr. CFB. Thank you so much, Tony. Have a good day.
All right, guys.
Take care. There he is, Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. Again, MemphisTouchdownClub.com to get your tickets. Monday night at 5:30. You will not want to miss it.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.